Right, at this point in our service, we're going to continue looking at God's Word. We're going to open up the Bible. We're in a series about prayers to change your life. And in Genesis 24, there is a fantastic prayer. It's a prayer of an unnamed servant of Abraham's. And he's sent by Abraham 400 miles to go back to Abraham's kind of hometown and to seek to try and find a wife for Isaac, Abraham's son. And this bit we're going to read, this prayer, is like the key pivotal moment in the story when he's just arrived with his kind of train of camels and he's just arrived outside of the hometown of Abraham, and the women of the town are just about to come out to the well. And this is what he prays in Genesis 24, verses 12 to 15. We're going to read. Then he, this unnamed servant of Abraham's, then he prayed, Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a young woman, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. And before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulders. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. Let me pray. Let me pray that God would help us as we come to his word this morning. And I want to pray too that God would just keep providing for us as we come this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you do hear and answer prayer. Lord, I thank you for all that you do in the life of the church. I want to pray for those who are getting baptized next week. Lord, please protect them and bless them. Lord, I want to pray for our giving, that you would just wonderfully continue as you have done time and again to provide for the ongoing work of the life of this church. We thank you for your generosity and faithfulness, Lord. And Lord, we want to thank you for your word. Come now by your Holy Spirit and open our eyes to see wonderful things in it. For we ask in your precious name. Amen. Just over a week ago, I came back from Wales, and I came back on the train just a couple of days earlier than the rest of the team. And I had one of these kind of pre-booked tickets that is slightly cheaper, and I actually managed to get at Cardiff Station on my way back. That's the kind of key leg that I had the pre-booked bit for, from Cardiff Station to London. I got there actually just over an hour earlier than I was planning to on the train that I was meant to get on. And then I thought I'll ring Laura, see how she's getting on. And as I spoke to her, she was just struggling with real pain in her eye, and it was kind of really painful. I didn't know what was happening, and I thought, I said to her, look, I'll put the phone down, I'll see if I can get an earlier train. Put the phone down. Got a couple of minutes before this train was going to arrive an hour early. It wasn't the one I was meant to be on, and you know, it's wrong to get on a train you haven't got the ticket for. So I thought, what'd I do? I saw a man at the station, staff member. I thought, I'll go and ask him. Said, look, this is the situation, what can I do? And he said, well, look, I'll come with you, we'll talk to the conductor. So we're there at the edge of the platform station, me and this guy, I don't know his name, he was just a nice, kind guy on the platform station, and he looked out for the conductor, and we couldn't see him, we looked up, down, no conductor, everyone's getting on, off, it's like, if I don't get this moment, then it will be gone. And then two kind of men just stepped off to get a bit of a breeze out of first class, right next to where we were. And they actually had the GWR, Great Western Railways, ties on them. And this man, this staff member at the station, he just sort of turned to one of them. He kind of obviously knew them, and he just said, excuse me, this gentleman would like to travel on this train. And he just explained very briefly, and he said, is that okay? And one of them said, yes, that's fine. Just say, Alan says so. And I'm like, I don't want to get thrown off this train or to pay a whole lot more. So can I just check who you are? And he said, I looked at his badge and it said Alan Wilson, but he said, oh, don't worry about that. Just say, Alan says so. It will be fine. So I get on the train. And sure enough, Alan says so is fine. And I got home, thankfully, Laura's eye was fine, and I was like, wow, it was just one of those little wonderful kindnesses. And I thought, I wonder who Alan Wilson is. Turns out Alan Wilson is the managing director of GWR. So when Alan Wilson says it's fine, it doesn't matter what the conductor says. I had his permission. His say-so. Now that's really relatively small in the big scheme of things, insignificant story. But this story here, it is far, far more significant, but it also has an unnamed servant who comes and asks something of someone far greater than him. And we read in this story, if you look just back at the beginning of Genesis 24, we read this, Abraham was now very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the senior servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, put your right hand under my thigh. This is verse 1 and 2. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife from my son, from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I'm living, but that you will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac. You see, this is kind of a big moment. In the kind of Old Testament, in the Bible, in the purposes of God, this is a moment where Abraham's had these amazing promises. Abraham has had this promise that God will bless him and his descendants, and through his descendants, all nations will be blessed. Only problem is, there's currently only Isaac, and he's not married. And they're meant to stay in this land that God's given them, and so the servant is kind of hearing this and he's thinking, now this sounds quite a big, difficult thing to go 400 miles, ask a woman who's never met this guy Isaac and has never been to that land to kind of travel back with me. So he says, look what the servant says, you can understand this. His first thing he says is, the servant asked him, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with you, with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? That sounds like it might be kind of slightly easier option. We could maybe work things out that way. Kind of a bit of a shortcut. And look what Abraham says. Make sure that you do not take my son back there, Abraham said. The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, to your offspring will give this land. He will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. But even if, he goes on, he says, if the young woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there. You see, when we're part of what God is calling us to do, we find ourselves in moments where it feels like, well, that is going to be pretty hard. That seems like it's going to be kind of a bit of a possible ask. I'm going to need an amazing breakthrough to see that kind of come about. And you can be tempted in those moments. It's easy to think, well, maybe if we didn't quite do it God's way, if we took a shortcut, if we took an easy route, if we kind of maybe instead of getting the girl to go to Isaac and them live over in that land, maybe we just go to Isaac back here. But Abraham has learned, and he's learned the hard way. Abraham's learned that actually God's way is the best way. And he's learned that his God is able to do miracles, but even if he doesn't do them in the way or the timing that we want them, it's still best to do things God's way. And so this servant, he goes. He goes those 400 miles and he's there outside the well. And at this pivotal moment where he's thinking, this is now my moment where it's going to be a big ask. He then does what? What does he do? Verse 12, the first three words. Read them with me. Verse 12 of chapter 4, here is what it says. Read them together. Then he Guys, when you need a breakthrough, or when those around you need a breakthrough, when a breakthrough is needed, what do you do? Do you look for a shortcut? Do you try and just think, well, maybe this is not the way, I'll go back another way? What do? You pray. We pray. When a breakthrough is needed, we pray. Here's what I want to ask. Have you got a story like this unnamed servant story? A story that if you condensed it down to just a chapter, this was kind of the story of his life. This is all we know about this servant. And right at the heart of it is a then he prayed moment. In fact, you couldn't write about this servant and the most significant thing in his life without mentioning the then he prayed moment. In fact, we have here in Genesis 24, not just what happened, but then later on in the chapter, he recounts what happened to those around him. In fact, you see, look with me in verse 45, I think this is. Let me just jump ahead here. What does it say in verse 45? Here we go. He's speaking to Laban about what happened, and he's picking up on the story, and then he says this: before I had finished praying in my heart. So the first time he prayed this, it wasn't even an out loud prayer, it was a prayer in his heart. But you see, it was such a key part of the story that he actually had to tell the prayer as part of the story. And I want to ask this morning, what's your story, and does it have a when he prayed, or when she prayed, or when they prayed moment in it? You know, prayer is so vital. Prayer is what turns our stories just from the kind of stories of what do that kind of at the end kind of come to nothing, or whether our stories become part of God's story. The story that actually is about God working out his purposes, big purposes through simple, ordinary people like you and I, who as we cry out to him, he hears us. And wonderfully, I love this in verse 15. We'll dig into his prayer in just a moment, but in verse 15 we see that before he had even finished praying, God was kind of beginning to answer his prayer. This wonderful picture that Rebecca kind of is coming out, and as you follow the story, you see that Rebecca is actually this one who's going to respond to this prayer and not just kind of go, yeah, I'll give you a drink, but this wonderful little moment where he says, yeah. And do you want something for your camels as well? And you can sense the servant who may not even have ever prayed before like this. He's kind of like, yes, God, you're answering my prayer. And in verse 27, look with me what he says. Verse 26 and 27. Then this man, he bowed down and worshipped the Lord, saying, praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on a journey to the house of my master's relatives. He's like, God, you've answered my prayer. This man has a story where it's like a then he prayed moment. Then I prayed, and then God did this in answer to my prayer. And that's his story. And so often our prayers shape our stories. You know, time and again in the Bible, it's as people pray that becomes then a significant part of their story. We had an amazing funeral here on Monday. A lady who'd been connecting with the church over a couple of years, a lady called Ruby, who was an amazing witness for Christ in her workplace and amongst her family. She was 38 years old, she died, and her sister, sharing the story of her life, and very movingly, she shared as she spoke about Ruby, she couldn't help but speak about Ruby's prayers. She spoke about how Ruby had prayed and prayed and prayed for her husband, for Reza. And Reza, just 2 days before she died, gave his life to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And that has been amazing for Reza in this moment to be able to, even at the funeral, kind of know, actually, yes, Jesus is going to help us. She's with the Lord. Keep praying for Reza. But you couldn't talk about Ruby's life without talking about her prayer and about how God answered her prayer. I wonder, is that true of you? Is that true of us? That people can't talk about your life without talking about your praying. You can't. When you're talking with the kids and you say, well, this is what happened, you have to kind of say, well, look, yeah, this is what happened because we prayed this and then God did this. It's a story that gives God glory. A story of what he has done. What's your story? Have you got a story of how a breakthrough was needed? And you prayed and then God heard. Or maybe you're thinking, well, I did, but I need another one. Great, because God is still the same God. And maybe you're thinking, well, no. Well, it's okay, because if you need a breakthrough now or if you need one in the future, then this God is with you and can help you, and you can turn to him anytime. So I just want us to see some brief things about this prayer that are going to help us pray for breakthroughs in our lives. So are you ready? You turn back to Genesis 24, verse 12. What's the first three words again? Then pray. Then he prayed. Let's make sure we have moments like that in our lives that would have to be recorded in our lives. But this is then what he prayed. He prayed this. He prayed, Genesis 4, verse 12. Then he prayed, Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today. So, first thing I want us to see is, as we get into this prayer, is just quite simply know who you're praying to. It's been so wonderful, hasn't it, to worship this morning. You know, when you lift up your eyes and you think, God, you're king forevermore. You reign over everything. And we get to not just praise him, we get to speak to him. I mean, I was really glad that that guy on the platform station, whose name I didn't know, knew who Alan was. Because he could then ask Alan. I didn't know who Alan was, but he knew, and he could ask Alan, and Alan could say it, and it would happen. On GWR. Now, the reality is, not a lot of my problems have to do with GWR. So Alan's great in that situation, but if you ask Alan, you get what Alan can do. And so often we look and think, well, I know I need help, but I'll ask so-and-so or this person. I'll try and figure it out myself. And when we ask the people around us or ourselves, it's a good thing to do. But you get what then people can do. When you ask God, you get what God can do. And God can do miracles. Amen? He can do miracles, not just for you, but for those around you who you cry out to God for. He is, as we've been singing, and as Abraham's told his servant, he's the God who's the Lord of heaven and earth. He's a big God. He's the king who reigns forever. So know who you're praying to. But look how he goes on in verse 12. He says this, then he prayed, Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, he is asking for success, but it's not just success for him. See, he's actually this servant. He's got a heart and a motive in this prayer that isn't all about him. It's about his master Abraham and his son. It's about God's purposes. So it's not just important to know who you're praying to, but know why you're praying. See, I've discovered something that the Bible is really very clear on, is that actually God doesn't hear and answer prayers just because we happen to say them like a magic formula that, you know, God, I'm saying this now, please will you give me this car because I'd really like it, or this, whatever, I'd really like it, and boom. He doesn't just do that. He's not a kind of genie. He is God. So it matters why we're asking, and what we see in the Bible is that actually when our prayers are self-preoccupied, selfish prayers, those often God does not. But when our prayers are for others, for kind of not just others, but for something that would bring God glory. You know, when we pray in Jesus' name, we're praying, Lord, for your name's sake, for your sake, not for my sake, for your sake, God. And I love this. He's praying here, isn't he? He's praying for his master's sake. And as I think about that, I can't help just think not just that he's praying for someone else, but who's my master? I'm serving the Lord. So I want to pray, Lord, for your name's sake, will you do this? And I encourage you, brothers and sisters, today as you think about what breakthrough is needed, don't just think about yourself. You know, Jesus, when he was there on the cross, he didn't just pray for himself, he prayed for others. He prayed for healing for others many times. We don't have record of him praying healing on the cross. Oh, Lord, this pain in my hand, please would it go? No, he's praying for others. And this is the one we're serving, this one who gave his life for others. James, the brother of Jesus, writes in his letter, he says this, he says, when you ask, do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Brothers and sisters,
Let's ask boldly for breakthroughs, but let's do it with a heart that says, God, this is for your glory and for others. Please, would you work? And then lastly, not just know who you're praying to and know why you're praying, but it's important to know what you're praying for. You know, this servant is really clear. It's not a long prayer, this one. Powerful prayers aren't long prayers. But they are prayers where there is a kind of specific thing where you're saying, God, I need this. I'm asking for this. Please, would you help me? It's a cry out to God. Look what he says in verse 13. He says this, see, I'm standing beside this spring and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. God, this is my situation. This is the moment. I really need you to come and help me now. Verse 14, may it be then, this is the specific prayer, may it be that when I say to a young woman, please let down this jar for a drink, and she says, drink and I'll water your camels too, let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac, and by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Now, you may think, well, what's so special about that prayer? Well, for Isaac, it was a kind of real test. Because he knew that it was really important who Isaac married. And just a little aside, if you're not married, still, it really matters who you married. Abraham was concerned that it would be someone who would share the same faith and heart for God. If you're not married and you're looking, who's the right person to marry? Make sure you marry someone with the same heart and faith for God. And Isaac here, he's got a little check. He knows he's in the area now where Abraham's family come from, where there are people of faith in God. And he wants to see, is this faith something that's kind of, will show itself in kindness? God's a kind God. There's a lot here in this passage, not just about how great God is, but the kindness of God. God, will you be kind? And he's looking for kindness in this girl, because he's going to ask for a drink and he wants her to say yes to him, but then he wants her to feed the camels. Now, if you go back and read through the story, look at verse 10 of this chapter. Then the servant left, taking with him 10 of his master's camels, loaded with all kinds of good things. So how many camels were there? 10. So he's praying, Lord, would she not just give me a drink, but then would she offer to draw water up a well for 10 thirsty camels? That's quite a bold prayer. And then wonderfully, it's not just a random test. Wonderfully, this girl does it. Look at verse 19. Just such a beautiful bit in the story. And she had given him a drink. She said, I'll draw water for your camels too until they have had enough to drink. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. He wanted to check too, where was her family kind of from, and then he hears she's actually one of the people that he's been looking for. And he goes back and he talks to their dad and brother and says, look, this is what God has done. And look at verse 50. Verse 50 says, Laban, who's the brother, and Bethuel, the dad, answered, this is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. God's in this. Hey, do you have a story where you prayed and prayed specifically for something and God broke through and you thought, yeah, this is of God? God's at work. You know, I don't know what breakthrough you need, whether it's like this, it's a breakthrough in some way for guidance. God, would you guide me in this moment? Maybe though, it's not just thinking about you, guidance for you, but actually the things that God guides us in often have a bigger impact for those around us. Think about others. God, would you guide me for the sake of others here? And God, would you even guide them? They need your help. And maybe you're thinking provision, and you think, well, this is a story of provision. Well, what about the provision for those around you? So I've been studying this. I've been thinking, oh yeah, God, they need your help. Please, would you provide for them there? Provide for them there. Maybe you're in a situation where you're aware that relationships or what you do have or don't have in relationships are a big deal. So often, actually, it's not just about getting into the right relationship. Sometimes it's getting away from bad companies. That's the really important thing. Hey, have you prayed? Have you prayed and asked God to help you? But maybe, actually, the really big thing today is to pray for your nephew or your niece or your grandkids or your kids or for someone who's a neighbor that maybe they need to get God's help for the right relationships and get out of the wrong relationships. And I want to again say, you're not just worrying about it or thinking, well, how can I try and engineer this? But have you prayed? God, give us a breakthrough here. And you know what the biggest breakthrough that any of us need is? The biggest breakthrough any of us need is always in this area of relationships, but actually not in our relationships just with one another, but our relationship with God. And you may be sitting here thinking, well, David, you know, it's already right praying for these things, but some of them God hasn't answered in my timing or my way. Well, keep praying. God's timing and God's way is better than our ways. It's not always easy to understand, but it is better. But I've noticed one thing, both in the Bible and in church history and in my own life and my prayers for others, there's one prayer which when we pray it, God seems to answer always straight away. Do you want to know what it is? It's for the biggest breakthrough that any of us need, and it's this prayer. It's the prayer that when someone says, Lord, do you know what? I realize that you are so big and great and holy, and I am not. I have wandered off from you, and I want to come back to you. God doesn't say, oh, that's an interesting prayer. I'll sit and think about that for a while. No, the Bible says that when anyone calls on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. And I've seen time and time again, people come from all kinds of situations and brokenness, and that's all of us because we all end up messing up our lives. It's always us who moved. And I've seen people come and say, God, please, would you help me? I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? They pray and their story changes. God comes in and he forgives them and he saves them and he lifts them and he brings hope where there was despair. I had a moment in Wales during the mission week when the concert was just started and was going on, and I was at the kind of door area welcoming kind of latecomers. But then this lady came out of the concert with her two small children. They'd been trying to settle, but they'd not really been able to. And so she said, oh, I'm really sad because I was really looking forward to coming. I used to come to church when I was little, but I haven't been for all this time. I kind of wanted to come back, but they haven't really settled. So, but then we were chatting on the door and her kids started to just enjoy playing outside. So I said, well, look, would you want to talk a bit? And we talked. And then I discovered she really wanted to learn how to pray for her kids. There was a real problem with her ex who was just making her really worried for her kids. And I said, would you like me to write out a prayer so you can pray for your kids? And she said, please. I wrote something out and said, would you like us to pray it together now? She said, yes, please. And I said, would you like to learn to pray so that you can actually know more of God in your life? And you seem to want to come back to kind of God. And said, yeah, that's why I'm here. Maybe you're here and that's your thing. I actually want to get right with God. I know I make a mess of it on my own. And I said, would you want me to write a prayer for that? And she said, yeah. And they wrote something very similar to this. I just said, sorry, God, for where I've ignored you and gone my own way. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross so that I could be forgiven and made right with you. And that's why he died. The one who left not a country 400 miles away, but left heaven to come to earth to save us. Died on the cross in our place so that we could be forgiven and made right with God. And then just a simple, please, would you come into my life by your Spirit and help me follow you and live for you? And we prayed that together outside this meeting, and her just countenance and joy and peace, just leaving knowing she's right with God. Brothers and sisters, that could be you today. Maybe you've never prayed something like this. Hey, why not today? I know that God hears and answers, because this is the promise to everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13, will be saved. And so I want to invite the band, and Dan's written a song just with this kind of theme, and I want to just give you time. We're finishing a bit earlier today so we can do two things. First, we can say, God, Please, I want to get right with you. And here's the thing. Always when God saves people in the Bible, he saves them for the sake of others. It's never just about you. When God saved the apostle Paul, who was first Saul, it wasn't just for Saul's sake. It was for what God wanted to do through him. Time and again in the Bible, that's the case. And God wants to move and work in my life and your life in fresh ways as we call out to him so that we can then be bold in praying and being light and following this Jesus who gives his life for others. And so we're going to first pray that God, would you break into my life? Maybe with that prayer up on the screen, as the band just start to lead us, we could pray this together in a moment. But then later on, and Tim's going to come up and host through this part, we're going to have an opportunity for you to pray for any breakthrough in you or those around you. Live. There's going to be prayer ministry team all around the church. And as we worship, let's pray. Let's pray with others and come and cry out to God for the breakthroughs and situations around us. But first, let's pray for that most important breakthrough that we'd get right with God. So just bow your head right now. And if you like that lady in Wales called Grace, if you just have come here today and actually you want to leave making sure you're right with God, then I would just encourage you in your heart. Just echo this prayer. God, I'm sorry for where I've ignored you, gone my own way. Might be some specific things. God hears what you're saying in your heart. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross so that I could be forgiven and made right with you. Thank you, Jesus. Please, please come into my life by your Spirit and help me follow you and live for you and for others. Amen. And God hears that prayer. He's moving now, filling you with his Spirit.